Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before I go on any further, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on this land we are broadcasting from. We also would like to pay my respects to our elders and also our elders of more recent arrival. Hope you're all having a great morning and it's not too cold. For yous. It was a bit cold out of Cashridge this morning on the south side. Been some really, really chilly mornings. Live in the studio with me this morning, I have a dead brother, Carl Wallace, is based in Adelaide. And we're going to go to a quick song, but just before we do that there, brother, could you just tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
Thanks for having me, Bo. My mob are Wutiri. I was born in Adelaide, but my father's country is Wutiri, north of Lockhart River in Shelbourne Bay, Cape York. I spent a lot of time in Cairns as well, went to high school in Cairns. Making a lot of music lately. Some of you may know I was in a band called The Medics a number of years ago, but currently I'm performing solo at the moment, and I'm going to try and sing a song for you called Peace Not War.
Deadly, my brother. And if you're listening to 98.9 FM, Carl is going live for us here in the studio. When you're ready, my brother.
Peace, no war. We have the power to end it all. This insanity can go for good. All the suffering and murder can go away forever, forevermore. Around the world, we are making a stand. Cast out from our sacred homelands. Some run from terror, some run from war. Brothers and sisters, broken and torn. Refugee, run away, run away. Refugee, run away, can't stay. Let's stand. Stand. Peace, not a war. Peace, not a war. Children cry fear as we bury the young. Younger and younger, we bury the young. Die for a flag ruled by ruthless lies. Check out early to the other side. Divide and conquer, will we ever learn? Divide and conquer, don't let us burn. Stand. Let's stand. Peace, now war. not a war. Peace, not a war.
And that was Peace, Not War by Brother Kyle. That was a really, really deadly song, my brother.
Thank you, bro.
Is that yours?
Yeah.
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 And when did you write that one?
So I've been writing my solo album over the last few years now. It's been taking a little bit of time. I was privileged to be awarded the Dreaming Award from the Australia Council of the Arts a few years ago now, and I've kind of gone off on a bit of a journey, a bit of a soul-searching journey. I spent a lot of time with my late uncle, who passed away. He was kind of guiding me, kind of spiritually and culturally, for a number of years. And I was able to sit down with him and, do some recordings as well. Him speaking to me. A lot of this stuff will be private use with family and that, but, it's something that I really, believe in is, you know, being able to, I guess record and, you know, for the next generations, basically, to preserve, you know, some language and words. And I got to learn a couple of words. My totem is the dingo up in Cape York, and in our language we say utaga, the dingo utaga. And country is quite remote and hard to get to. We need to get, you know, you got to get your four-wheel drive and get up there, you know, and it's pretty hard to get there. But there's a beautiful place in Shelbourne Bay, and in our language we say Kinsha is the white sand, is the beautiful. We have it's actually called silica sand, but in language it's our very holy and sacred sand, Kinsha. And, I was able to get up there a couple of years ago, but I really need to get back up there, which is really important to me. I'm always returning home and returning back to family. I'm kind of in Adelaide at the moment. I was born there. My mum's of Irish descent. She met my father in art school, in uni, and We grew up down the beach. My mum and dad used to go surfing a lot and traveling, and but my dad always made sure that us kids knew that there was another place, another home, you know, up Cape York, you know, and in Cairns as well with our extended family there. But I guess all these songs and growing up listening to people like John Butler and my mum listening to people like Bob Dylan and Neil Young, and my dad listening to you know, Bob Marley and that, you know, I guess all these artists and also, you know, another real close mentor of mine and kind of cultural leader, Uncle Bunna Laurie. I call him Uncle. He married my dad's sister and had some kids. And Jindu is my cousin. He plays in a number of bands here in Brisbane. And he was also the drummer in the Medics. Uncle Bunna was a big inspiration as well. All his songs kind of have meaning to them in a sense, with culture and spiritual elements. You know, great songs that were written well too, you know, like ones that get stuck in your head, you know, like one of my favorites is Dancing in the Moonlight, and also another one of my favorites is Black Boy, obviously. I got to see Emily Woramara perform the other night, and she's doing a beautiful cover of Black Boy at the moment.
I interviewed Sister Emily last Friday here in the studio. She before she got in, I played Black Boy, her cover of that there, and then she came in and sung My Island Home, like that's not a cover that I thought it was when she said, "Oh, this is, you know, the song that she's doing." But what I wanted to sort of yarn with you as well, is sort of give our listeners an idea of how you got into music. So you went to school in Cairns, you said?
I was born in Adelaide. I wanted to be an AFL player all my life. throughout primary school and into high school. But I kind of started to get into music towards mid high school, about year 10, 11, and I formed a band called The Medics. We finished high school and ended up performing around Cairns there, and we were putting on our own shows a lot of the time, and we saved up enough money to make an EP, a CD. And then we went on to we got onto a compilation album called the Home Compilation Album.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, a lot of First Nations mob on the album and that, and we ended up coming down here to Brisbane and performing at Big Sound, and went on to perform a lot. And just high school was where I kind of really got into my music. We had a great program at that school called Prac Music, Practical Music, and we had a couple of rehearsal rooms there, and we had Battle of the Bands at high school. So it was a bit of a school of rock, you know. We always wanting to get up and perform and writing our songs. We had an opportunity to make original songs as well. It wasn't just covers as well. Mm. So yeah, it was. My dad always had a guitar around home, you know, and my mum could play a little bit of piano as well. She's quite talented on the piano. We always had music playing at home, you know, and I guess at the end of the day, after I finished playing footy, I just picked up the acoustic and started building up my guitar collection, just delved into music, and I haven't stopped. I just continue to keep soldiering on, and just spending a lot of time with family and friends, just listening to people's stories, just discovering new things, traveling around the country. I did a bit of mentoring over the years out in the Northern Territory, up into the Arnhem Land and down to the APY lands. I did a bit of work with the Jimmy Little Foundation. Mm-hmm.
I was watching the video, sorry, and you were singing is it Children of the Revolution?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a really, really good song.
Yeah, I think I'll be singing that for you next.
Yeah, deadly cool. And also you done some stuff last week here in Brisbane as well at BMAC?
Yeah, so BMAC had a initiative called Thrive, which was a mentoring program for young Indigenous youth and young people. And we had about 13 kids with us. Myself, I was a mentor, and also Sue Ray and Emily Waramara as well. And we just got together, and there was a lot of we talked a bit about music business and things like that as well. Kind of giving the kids an idea of different pathways they can take in online. Uploading their music online and things like that, and getting into community radio as well, and just find getting a foundation for them, and then also giving them an opportunity to perform at BMAC at the theatre as well. And so we had a concert last Friday night, and it was just a great performance. Everyone, you know, there were a lot of nerves, a lot of kids there were, it was their first time performing, and first step, you know, stepping stones. We've all been there on stage for the first time, and I still get nervous performing. But it was good to be a part of that and connect with the kids. They came from all over, there was just a really great opportunity for them to get out there and get into take their first step in the music, in their musical journey.
Mm-hmm. That first song you sung, "Peace Not War," and then like you spoke about some of the influence, you know, growing up, the music that your mother and your father would listen to. How important is like music in that process of, you know, putting, I guess, everything that's out there. Because, like, yeah, from your song Peace Not War, it's a very, like, politically charged song, you know. How important is that process of putting, you know, what's happening in our world into a song?
Yeah, I guess I find myself channeling the music, especially when I write. I guess I try to channel the music and bring it forth into reality, I guess, because it's music for me kind of is swirling around us all the time, and you know, I just feel like some of the issues that are happening around the world with you know, there's obviously war is still happening. You know, people are dying every day. People are getting, you know, kids are dying, getting bombed, you know. And, you know, these are the sort of, Peace Not War is a song that I wanted to touch on these issues and just kind of have that kind of powerful kind of anthem. I guess I haven't released my album yet, but I'm really looking forward to sharing these songs with you all. And they are kind of some of these songs are politically charged in a sense. I don't set out to be political, but I just have it in me, and I'm just trying to get it out and channel that that energy.
That's like a lot of the times with a lot of our artists as well. You know, like Mob don't particularly try and be political, but we're, you know, I guess in a situation where, you know, anything we vocalize, anything we do is sort of seen as a political statement. And how long have you been sort of doing the solo stuff for?
It's been about three years now, I guess. I was performing when I was younger a little bit, but I've just kind of tried to mature as a songwriter, and I've tried to mature as an artist, and performing solo for me was jumping in the deep end. I was always performing with bands, and I just felt the need to give myself a chance to get out there on my own. And it's a lot easier to travel. a lot cheaper to travel as a solo artist, but it's a little bit lonely at times. I do miss performing in the band with the Medics a lot. Who knows what will happen in the future.
How do you get over that sort of loneliness, you know, travelling and, you know, being out, I guess, out of that context of a band?
Yeah, I guess I always have my guitar with me, so, you know, I like to think my guitar's my friend and my baby. So, I kind of sit down and try and write songs. I haven't really written any songs lately, but I'm really looking forward to kind of getting back into the swing of things. And I guess music as well. I listen to a lot of different types of music. I've got a lot of family and friends around the country and things like that, so I try to catch up with people along the way. And so Brisbane's a bit of a second home for me as well. I spent a lot of time here. I was living in West End for a while, and really enjoy this side of town.
Just before we head to this next song, how different is the music from the Medics to yourself as well?
I guess the solo music is a little bit more raw, and it's a little bit more, it's got that kind of acoustic sort of folk rock sort of sound, I guess. It's always changing, I guess. And I'm trying to gain just a little bit more confidence in myself to continue to keep doing what I'm doing. And I'm really looking forward to getting my album out. And I'm actually heading up to Dumuji country soon. There's a festival up there called It's the culture, dance, rodeo and music. Yeah, so it's like it's the Gulf Country Frontier Days Festival.
The second one, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So I've been able to, Alec got in contact with me and got me on the bill.
Deadly.
Archie Roach is performing as well and Shelley Morris. They've got Yothu Yindi up there too. And I'm really a big fan of Yiramal Marika. And I think we've got some international artists as well performing. Catch a Fire coming over from New Zealand. But I'll just do a little bit of a promo about the gig. It's Thursday, August the 16th, and then on Sunday, the August the 19th.
Mm.
So, between the 15th and 19th of August.
Mm. And that's up, whereabouts is that again? That's like all the way up in North Queensland.
Yeah, so it's a new location.
Oh, okay, yep.
It's Gregory Downs. It's located about 4 hours north of Mount Isa. And, it's Dumaji country. And, I'm really looking forward. I haven't been up there before, so I'm really looking forward to getting up there and performing. I'm going to take my cousin Jindu with me and a couple of other musicians as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, deadly. And if you're just tuning in to Let's Talk, my guest on the program this morning is Brother Kyle Wallace, proud Aboriginal man from up North Queensland, grew up in North Queensland and also Adelaide. He's here in Brisbane. He done some mentoring last week, and he's been doing some songs for us live here. He's going to do his second song for us. And which is this? And what's this song called, brother?
I'm going to sing "Children of the Revolution."
"Children of the Revolution" here on 98.9 FM. When you're ready, my brother.
Children of the Revolution. on her blood and bone. Honor the fear inside your soul. Honor the tribe, let the fire burn. We are, we are, we are, we are, we are, we are. We are, we are, we are, we are, we are, we are. Children of the revolution. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Children of the revolution. Inside the roots, inside the stone, our ancestors remain. Inside the roots, inside the stone, our ancestors remain. We are, we are, we are, we are, we are, we are. We are, we are, we are, we are, we are, we are. Children of the revolution. Children of the revolution. Children of the revolution. Children of the Revolution.
And that was Children of the Revolution by Brother Carl. Sorry about that. That was another deadly song, my brother.
Thank
is
you.
It, is that your one as well? Another one?
It is, yes.
Yeah, deadly.
I mean,
deadly.
There's a song out there by a band called T-Rex, and they have a song called Children of the Revolution as well. But I wasn't necessarily inspired by that song, but that song is a bit of a political kind of peace movement song, you know. And I guess I just really wanted to write a song that was kind of uplifting and had a bit of a cultural element in there. You know, listen to the custodians, listen to the elders, and our ancestors, you know, are within the you know, the stone and the land and the and country, you know. And yeah, I just wanted to have that uplifting sort of song for, you know, the next generation of youth as well, along with myself, you know, because I was young once. I mean, I'm still fairly young. I'm turning 29 this year. But you know, I guess we are all children in a sense, of Mother Earth, the land, and we are, you know, I guess, yeah, trying to come together to create a bit of a revolution, you know, with peace and love and unity, to create a better future for the next generations, and looking after land and sea, protecting country.
How do you come up with, yeah, like those, you know, songs like it there? Do they just come to your mind, or do you sort of, you know, go to your own place and, you know, sit down in a room and just start writing lyrics, or are these things like thrown at you and you're just like grabbing them?
I guess for me, yeah, a little bit of just getting into a quiet space, whether that's I might go out into the rainforest, or I might go somewhere out bush, you know. When I was doing a bit of work with the Jimmy Little Foundation, I was out in Arnhem Land and places like that, and I could see all the kids, you know, in the community, and they're the next generation of kids, you know, that have a big future ahead of them, and I guess I just wanted to create a song that I'm really looking forward to releasing my album, because I want these songs to be able to be healing as well, you know, like for people. Because music for me has been healing in a way. And just for me, yeah, the writing process is just a combination of all my experiences, of my travels around. I mean, I've been overseas once. I went to Sao Paulo in Brazil with the medics a number of years ago, and that was a big a huge experience for me to get out of the country for the first time and just see the world, you know, because not many people get the opportunity to have that chance to travel and things like that, you know. So for me, I'm just trying to tie it all together within my songs. You know, being inspired by a lot of other artists, you know, out there performing, you know, yeah, just lyrically, just being conscious, being aware, being awake, trying to just channel that awareness and that consciousness into the music and touching on the spiritual element too. With my uncle as well, he used to talk a lot about country and how important it was. It is for the future, and you know, he's passed away now, but he's still, you know, he's gone back home. You know, he's returned to you know, to the sacred place in country. And I'm just trying to just bring it all together in these songs, and I'm really wanting to share that with everybody as well.
And was that sort of why you decided to move back to Adelaide? Was sort of get back into that, I guess, you know, space within yourself to sort of settle down and get back into writing?
Yeah, in a way. I've got a little studio at home that I use. I spent a lot of time with my cousin making some music for him as well. And because I was up in Brisbane here for a number of years, and I went back to Cairns. I started my album, the writing process, here in Brisbane, but I also did a bit of writing up in Cairns. I did some recordings with the producer Mark Myers, who has a studio up there, and started the album process there. I had 16 songs that were kind of just they were kind of a blueprint for the album. And then I came. Then it was about a year later. I came down here to Brizzy, and I worked with a guy here in St. Lucia. His name's James North, and finished pretty much the bulk of the album. I cut the album down to about 10 songs, but I'm not too sure if it will be 10 or 7 songs, but I've got 10 there that I'm pretty proud of, and really wanting to just final process. I just need to finish off some vocals and just some touch ups and things like that, and I'm pretty much due for release pretty soon. I don't have any dates yet, but hopefully I'll be able to get something out by the end of the year, at least a single.
Any features on that album, or just like yourself?
Well, I've kind of just gone with the solo vibe at the moment. So I think I'm wanting to do a bit more collaboration with the next batch of songs that I... Yeah, so I really look forward to working with other artists and continuing those relationships that I built over the years.
Any in particular?
I guess there's a few out there, I suppose. I had a little jam with Emily Waramara once, and also Yirimal. I had a bit of a jam with him once. Who knows? Who knows?
And also, like, those songs you've already sung, Children of the Revolution and Peace Not War, are they accessible? Like, can we download them, buy them, or like what's
at the moment, because I haven't released the album.
So there's songs on the album?
Yeah, there'll be songs on the album, but there's a couple of little YouTube videos online. You can look up Children of the Revolution, Carl Wallace, and also Peace Not War. They're quite old, but I haven't got much content up at the moment. I'm trying to work on that, but when the album comes out, I'll have a bunch more online accessibility with the music and all that.
Yeah, deadly, my brother, deadly. And I can't wait for it to come out. You'll have to keep us posted, and we'll definitely buy the album. And you know, if you're doing a tour, I would love to get you back in to do some more songs. We're actually just going to head to a quick song break, and it's a song that you actually spoke about earlier today, or earlier in the interview. Uncle Bunner's band, Coloured Stone, with their song Dancing in the Moonlight. You are listening to 98.9 FM. My guest on the program is Brother Carl. We've just been yarning a bit about his music. He's done some songs for us live here in the studio, so stay tuned to 98.9 FM.
This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
And you're back on Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM. I'm your host, Bo Spearham, and my guest in the studio is Brother Carl. That was Dancing in the Moonlight by Coloured Stone. That was a song, you know, like you briefly mentioned in the program earlier. And also, like you said, your cousin Jindu, his old man, is Uncle Bunner. And you did mention there was sort of like a mentor sort of period with him as well.
Yeah, basically he was always, you know, catching up with us throughout the years and just giving us advice on how to go about making music and how to go about the industry, just kind of preparing us because it can be a bit daunting when you're a young person out there making music for the first time and also performing and 'cause sometimes you just don't know where to go, who to talk to. And so Uncle Bunner always kind of gave us a bit of a heads up on how to kind of navigate the music industry. And we ended up meeting some wonderful people that helped us along the way. And I'm still in contact with these people, supporters and mentors and champions of well, at that time it was the Medics as well. So, but I've kind of gone on now to perform solo, but I've also still got a great foundation of supporters and people that are supporting me, and I can't thank them enough. My manager and people supporting my music, and that's yet to be released. But I've just been cooking this album for a while now, but it's getting ready to eat. I'm getting hungry for this music. I really want to share it with everybody. Mm-hmm. It's just been a great process over the years. There's been some ups and downs, just got to stay strong and keep motivated and look after myself and be there for other people too, had a couple of, I had one of my best friends from high school take his own life, just a couple of years ago, there's always someone there that you can talk to, about if you're having a hard time, it's just a big journey, life's a journey. And I've just tried to get myself out of my comfort zone as well, and try and incorporate some teachings and lessons that I've learned along the way into my music and
How important is that sort of getting out of your comfort zone to sort of push yourself more to write deadly music like this?
Yeah, it's definitely difficult, even to perform the songs as well, they're pretty emotional songs and quite powerful. So there's times where I have to kind of really focus my energy and focus my, spirit in a way and try and connect, because I don't like to kind of just get up there and sing a song without any heart. I'm always trying to find my heart in the song and I guess just trying to connect with other people as well just create that healing,
It's deadly, my brother. And also just as well, the next gig that Brother Carl will be doing is at the Gulf Country Frontier Days Festival. That's a lot to eat, that title. That's from August 16th to the 19th, Gregory Downs, Queensland, which is outside of 4 hours north of Mount Isa. We'll be performing with the likes of Uncle Archie Roach, Shelley Morris, and Catch a Fire from New Zealand, Mickey Free from the US, Graham Connors, John Stevens, a big lineup, and that there, his next performance is up that way. When will the next time you be in Brisbane doing any gigs or anything like that?
Nothing's booked at the moment, but it's kind of up in the air at the moment. I haven't got anything booked so far, but but I'll definitely get in contact with you guys next time I'm up, and let you guys know when I'm performing next. Definitely in the near future.
And just in wrapping up, brother, as well, any inspirational words out there for any of the young mob that are listening? If they want to, you know, be a singer-songwriter like yourself, or, you know, just encouraging words for them out there that are listening?
Yeah, if you've got that passion to make music, you know, it can really change your life. I mean, you don't have to do it full-time or anything, but, you know, if you can, it's pretty difficult to be a musician, but, you know, it can take you around the country, it can take you around the world. It's really helped me, you know, find myself at times. You know, there's music these days is pretty superficial, you know, so be careful of, you know, getting caught up with the wrong people. You do your homework, you know. You know, music is something that you need to work on, and it takes time. You got to put a lot of time and effort into it. I mean, YouTube has a lot of videos on like guitar lessons and vocal lessons and things like that. You know, you can always find content online as support, you know. But, you know, speak to your community radio, you know, as well. You know, they have a lot of great advice and pathways and connections in the industry. You know, if you're out there making music, just keep doing what you're doing, and it's an amazing experience, and go for it.
Mm. And also, when you're on YouTube looking at how to write and play music and sing, remember to check out Kyle's song, Children of the Revolution, on YouTube. But just in wrapping up, brother, I want to say a big thank you for coming on the program this morning, performing, but then also, you know, letting myself and the listeners know, you know, who you are and, you know, where you developed your interest for music and stuff. You know, big thank you, my brother.
Thank you for having me, Bo. Really appreciate it.
Thanks. No, that's all good, my brother. And we're just going to take a quick song break. And this is actually another Coloured Stone song. It is Waiting for the Tide. You're listening to 98.9 FM. This is Let's Talk. My guest on the program this morning was Carl Wallace. Thank you, and we'll be back after the song.
But I can't let myself find a brand new 98.9 FM, broadcasting live across the nation and streaming right around the world. For the best country.
You might find me on the back roads of the Kimberley. You might see me making campfires by the creek. Well, don't you worry if I'm walking alone, I'll be home in a week. Yeah, this is the land where I was born. Now the days are over when the old folks used to roam across the old river another side. I still wonder how the people lived along this land. From the ranges and gorges, across desert plains, to the ocean where the rivers run wild. You might find me on the back roads of the Kimberley. You might see me making campfires by the creek. Well, don't you worry if I'm walking alone, I'll be home in a week. Yeah, this is the land where I was born. Yeah, this is
...98.9 FM News.
With the Me Too campaign gaining worldwide attention, the Human Rights Commission will launch an inquiry into sexual harassment in the workplace. The major inquiry will be led by Sex Discrimination Commissioner Kate Jenkins and will run for a year, with the federal government contributing $500,000 to the overall $900,000 cost. Minister for Women Kelly O'Dwyer says coverage of the Me Too movement has highlighted the prevalence and impact of sexual harassment. Ms. O'Dwyer says the inquiry would be a step towards reducing sexual harassment in Australian workplaces while ensuring when it did occur, it was dealt with appropriately. The inquiry will consider what drives workplace harassment, the use of technology including social media and existing practices to deal with the problem. It will also draw on economic modelling to establish what sexual harassment is costing individuals and workplaces. Ms. O'Dwyer says everyone already knows that the personal and career consequences of workplace sexual harassment are very significant. More than 20% of people over 15 years old in Australia have been sexually harassed, with 68% of those in the workplace. A new study has revealed that Indigenous students are dropping out of university at a higher rate than the rest of the population and calls for better resourcing. The study, coming out of Perth's Curtin University, shows while Indigenous enrolments increased by 70% in the 9 years leading up to 2015, less than half have finished. It shows just under one in five withdrew after the first year. Associate Professor James Smith says there needs to be greater investment as well as a focus on evaluation of programs.
We do need to see an increased investment in resourcing for Indigenous students, and that's both a whole of university approach where all stakeholders across the university are responsible for supporting improvements in Indigenous higher education, but also Indigenous units that are specifically set up to provide a culturally safe space for students at universities as well. Different universities have taken different approaches to this. What we don't know at the moment is exactly what those approaches look like, and that's why we need to see greater investment into evaluation, reporting, monitoring and the performance of universities in this space.
Traditional owner groups in West Australia's Kimberley have called for a moratorium on water allocations until a management plan is implemented. The National Heritage listed Fitzroy River is of significant cultural importance to First Nations groups in the region. 9 traditional owner groups have come together to push for the moratorium in a move they hope will prevent their water system ending up like the Murray-Darling Basin. Nikina woman Anne Pialina is spearheading the call and says they aren't anti-development.
We can't be having knee-jerk reactions in regards to allocation of water. We need to have a moratorium. We're not saying that we need to ban that. What we're saying is that we need a moratorium so that we can all work together and get the modelling and the science and the real impacts in terms of looking at how we can work together to prevent the disaster of the Murray-Darling Basin. As a National Heritage listed river, it belongs to all Australians and indeed the world. So we have a duty of care as Australians to be protecting a globally unique river system that's not found anywhere else on the planet.
To sport now with the ABC's Chris Glassick.
In Socceroo news, Aaron Moy says he's enjoying his remarkable ride, which has seen him go from playing with the Western Sydney Wanderers a few years ago to now playing in the English Premier League and with Australia. The 27-year-old has become a key part of the Australian lineup and has undergone a remarkable transition from the A-League to the top league in the world, playing with Huddersfield. Tomorrow, he will be looking to steer Australia to a crucial World Cup win over Denmark, and Moy says it's been quite the ride.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, to be honest, but yeah, I'm enjoying every minute of it and just keep trying to get better and improve and keep pushing myself and see where that takes me.
And that's the latest National Indigenous News.
Streaming live all across the nation. In the world. To break free. It's time now for another hour. Take a listen.